Hey yo, what's up everybody? Welcome to the TJTV podcast, only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. How are you doing today? Anyways, welcome to the show. It's a rainy week, and I hate it. I honestly do. I hate the rain. Rain is not my friend. It never was my friend, and it never will be my friend. And that's just the thing. Like, every time it rains, I'm always tired. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if you feel this way. I don't know if if my wife feels this way, or just in general. Like, if it makes a lot of people tired, I just really want to know why. And I get it. It's dreary out. It's wet. It's depressing. Now I know why everybody in Seattle, Washington, is so depressed, because of the rain. But literally, I don't ever remember it raining 4 days straight in April. But you know what they say, April showers bring May flowers, as my mom likes to say. But in any event, we don't need rain. Who cares? I hate the rain. The rain just makes everything just worse and so depressing and just, ugh. Oh well. All right, so in any event, we have a fun show today. I'm interviewing Kai Howard, who is a basketball player. He's coming on the show in just a few minutes. And, you know, I actually looked into this guy and I didn't realize that his dad was a former NBA player. I really did not know that. I mean, upon this interview, I was just like, all right, you know, this guy's a basketball player. Let's see what happens. And then I find out he's an NBA player. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, it's really cool. But yeah, we have some fun stuff coming your way as well. We have an interview on Friday. I'm going to come back and talk to you guys on Thursday. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun stuff. But, yeah, that's really enough of an intro, I guess, for right now. But, I see he's coming on in just a couple minutes. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to go from there. And, I'll see you guys in just a few moments. Okay, I'm with Kai Howard, who is a basketball player, you're a professional athlete, right?
Yeah, I'm actually overseas right now.
So where are you at overseas? I remember you told me, like, before the show, you were 6 hours ahead of me.
Yeah, I'm in Luxembourg, small country between Germany, Belgium, France.
How long have you been out there?
Since August.
That's cool. No, I never been across seas. I've always been afraid to, for some reason. Just flying over the Atlantic Ocean just petrifies me.
That is a long flight. I tell anybody, I get my best sleep on planes. So, like, I'm not even awake for, like, the safety precautions. I'm already asleep.
I can't do that. I can't sleep on a plane. Although, if you ask my wife, I did fall asleep going to California. I don't remember that. But everyone tells me, before, like, if I want to go on a long flight, take, like, a gummy or something, or, like, smoke, like, a bunch of weed before you get on. But I get paranoid if I smoke weed going through an airport. I feel like I would get, like, arrested or something.
I just go to sleep. I know some people, like, their intentions, they get on the plane, they start getting drunk. I don't have to do any of that. If I get a window seat, I'm probably going in 30 seconds.
I can't do window seats anymore. But so what got you started in basketball, and how did you become a professional athlete moving to Germany, or moving to London? What was it called again? Luxembourg?
Okay. Luxembourg.
Luxembourg. So how did that all come about?
I mean, it kind of started at a young age. I was just blessed. My father played in the NBA.
Really?
Yeah, my father, Mo Howard, he played with Pete Maravich, New Orleans Jazz. He played at the University of Maryland in the heyday when it was like him, John Lucas, Tom Roy, Tom McMillan, Lynn Elmore. My dad, actually, that team was the reason why I'm only speaking on it because of the time frame. March Madness is as big as it was is now, where they opened up the bracket to more teams because my father's team, one of the best teams in the country, but they never got to play because they never won the ACC.
Wow.
That's so long line of family. My brother, my older brother was a Division I player, Ashley Howard. He was actually the head coach over at LaSalle University not too long ago. He's on Villanova's bench now, was on Jay Wright's Villanova bench when they were winning those national titles, was a big reason why a lot of those guys that we see in the NBA now went to Villanova. So it was kind of, I was kind of spoon-fed it to say. It was in front of me. It was easy. I mean, growing up, I had aspirations of playing other sports, but it's a basketball household. And, when you're big on basketball the way we are, it's kind of like basketball or nothing. So that's how it all started, and then it just kind of manifested into its own little thing.
And you played in high school, and obviously you played in college. And what was it called? NJIT. That's New Jersey, I imagine.
Yeah, New Jersey Institute of Technology.
And what was your like? How was the team there? Because I know smaller colleges, and it doesn't depend on like basketball. It's like football, basketball, whatever. I know smaller colleges have like, they're not as good, but like, how good was your team?
We the greatest aspect of our team chemistry at that point in time was our camaraderie. We did everything together. Our schedules were based around open periods of time, which we all had, even though we were all taking different classes. My freshman year, I had a whole bunch of seniors, and then the age kind of dropped. The next oldest players on the team were sophomores. So then everybody after that was just a year or two underneath me. So as like sophomore, junior, I mean, no, more so our sophomore year, our first year, I mean, we took our lumps, and we took a lot of bad lumps. Like, we got our asses kicked a lot of nights. Freshmen and sophomores, I mean, we're playing against grown men. So we took a lot of big lumps, but we learned a lot about ourselves, and we learned a lot about the fight within ourselves and how major, just like small little things like being accountable. My brothers, my teammates were able to look at me when I wasn't playing good and just be like, you're playing like a bitch. Like, and I knew it wasn't them trying to be disrespectful. It was just the standard they held me at. I wasn't playing up to par. So just being able to have those type of conversations, by my junior year, I mean, we got our ass kicked so much. Like, there was not a situation in a college game we didn't see. Down big late games, coming back winning games, playing on big stages against big teams, buy-in games. So big programs always pay little programs to come to the school, fly them out, put them up. You come, you get your ass kicked, we get to put a show on in front of our fans. So each year we had buy-in games, and we just so happened to play Michigan my junior year with Caris LeVert.
Right.
And by that time, I want to say we just lost a game. We went to We went to Marquette and we got cheated at Marquette. A couple bad calls, but we were in a game late. And then 2 games later, we go to Michigan. So Marquette beat us by like 5. So by the time we go to Michigan, we're feeling good. We had a game in between. We did the job. We go to Michigan and everything just felt natural. We were able to actually beat Michigan at Michigan, which
Wow.
was monumental to us. It just changed the whole structure of how before that game, the world did not know of NJIT. And then after that, the whole country knew that NJIT was a Division I program in Newark, New Jersey. My sophomore junior year, we actually played independent. We didn't have a conference, so there was no postseason.
Right.
Only independent school in the country at the time. So every game for us was a championship game, and we loved that. So I mean, being at a small time school, it allows you the space to not have to feel kind of as much pressure to say, right? Like, you miss a game winning shot at a Power Five top 10 school, you may have some angry alums find your social media nowadays and, oh, I can't believe you, kid. Well, at a small time school, it's just like, okay, wow, we were in that game.
Yeah.
So it allowed me the space to just grow confidence, make mistakes. My coach allowed me to make mistakes many and many a times and try things. And as I continued to play, those mistakes became valuable lessons. And it just kind of the pop, everybody, the staff, the program, the school backing us, it just was perfect timing. I think that nowadays people should not like the Atlantic 10. Who's to say an Atlantic 10 is a mid-major all based off of the talent there,
Right.
right? I mean, we see nobody will ever have NC State in the ACC, and now NC State is all the way, they're walking. So it's one of those situations where it's kind of just understanding the premise where if you could play, you could play. It doesn't matter where you play. It's just when you get that opportunity, being prepared and making sure that if you do your part, everything should just kind of fall in the line, I guess.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I never played basketball. My sister was a big basketball person, but until she came softball. But oh, like basketball, I feel like it's not a hard sport, but it looks very hard when you have six other guys on you and you're trying to pass to your player. I feel bad for a lot of players because it looks like it's really hard, and like then you get thrown on the hardwood floor. It's just did that ever happen to you?
I mean, the only time I could say it really, really happened to me was probably like working out with my older brother. My older brother before he got the name he got as a college coach, he was a big player development guy. Like everybody used to go to my brother, Sean Singletary, Wayne Ellington, Gerald Henderson, like. And I was his little brother, and I just wanted to be in the gym. And he would just throw me into the pit and play these guys one on one. We talk about McDonald All-Americans. Like, I mean, that was probably the only time in my life I really felt like thrown into the mix. But even growing up, my father used to take me to playgrounds, and he would pick me up on his team. To say, so we would probably play like 4.5 on 5 because I was half the size of everybody. And he would just tell me two things: play defense, and when I pass you the ball, shoot. So even then, I kind of was naturally like they threw me into situations where you take your lumps. By the time you are of that age, you're ready. And
Yeah.
I think it's the thrill. I think you're absolutely right. Basketball is not necessarily a hard sport. What makes the greats great are their obsession with the craft, right? Like, if you put the time in and you really put the time in, and it's not just like physically putting the time, sitting back, studying, reading, getting different perspectives, just learning, just different movements. That's how we see the greats become the greats. At a point in time, they're not in the gym for 3 hours. They're in the gym for 40 minutes because within that 40 minutes, they're going to be super duper efficient and they know exactly what they're going to do when they go into the gym. Everybody, there was a James Harden this year said in an interview, like, you try to put me in the system. I am the system. I think people took it out of context, right? Like, as a basketball player, I play a certain way. So within myself, I have a system. If you put me in the right place at the right time within that system, I help the complete system be as productive as possible. So yes, I am a system. I am the system. If you put me in there, I play the one and the two. If you put me in and you expect me to play the five, I could play the five, but I'm not as productive as the five. It's tough to ask somebody who naturally found a way to get so good at their version of the craft to do certain stuff. It's out of their habit. You can't. And the greatest players are able to display it in an efficient way. At points in time, do they have their nights where they take 30, 40 shots? Yes. But if they get 40 shots, they had a hell of a night getting to their spots. So those were great shots for that said player. Us as fans can't sit back and say that's a bad shot. You don't know how he got open and what he's seen in that moment. So I definitely think the game is to learn the foundations. It's easy, right? Like, I don't have to run and kick a ball. I don't have to throw a ball while people are moving at me in tight precision pad. I don't have to do that. But I gotta learn how to move. I need great footwork. I need to understand weight distribution. I need to understand angles. I need to understand how quickly my shot gets off. It's the small, minor details that the greats obsess over that become them that. And I think that's what, like, it takes time, right? Like anything good takes time. And I don't think, like, a lot, you have to have a different type of patience to see it. People want it to happen like it's NBA 2K, where you could get some VC. Okay, now somebody that couldn't shoot threes can shoot threes the next day. We're talking about people that spend countless hours, though, so it's just.
Now, when you were like shooting the basketball, did your dad ever make you sit at one spot and just, what was it, throw a three throw like 21 times or something like that? And if you miss one, you got to start all over and do it again?
Yes, we had many days like that. Honestly, my dad as a kid was make me start underneath the basket, and he would make me make 15. I think I'm like 2 feet away, but he would count the 15. So if he didn't like how the shot went in, it doesn't count for him,
Oh, wow.
right? And that's the difference. So some people like making shots, some people only like swishing shots. So now there's a different type of focus. So him forcing me to have a different type of focus to make the same shot over, I now have to remember how my body felt in that moment when that shot. I need to remember how I released the ball. And then he would have me step back. If at a point in time I got to the free throw line and I missed like four or five shots in a row, we would start all the way over. There were some days he would take the ball, put it on the side, and just be like, yo, you don't want to shoot today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. How long have you been out there, like when you were doing this stuff, generally?
Hours, hours. I mean, go home, get your schoolwork done, and go to the court. Go to the court as long as you can, as long as you can see it before the street light. But like any kid, when you first get good at something, you're obsessed with it. Like, so I didn't know I was good until like I started walking in certain gyms, and like I could, as a second grader, I could even hear parents like, "Oh man, this kid's here." Like parents, adults, I'm just playing a game of basketball. I'm here to have fun. And then once you figure out like, hey, like you're getting kind of good, how good could you get?
Right.
And that's the thrill of it. That's the chase. You don't chase the players in front of you. It's just like, okay, if we're talking like I'm a number guy, right? So if you look at a bar, like a graph, the straightest line is one, right? Like that's correlation.
Right.
And then anything from there tells you how far away. I may not ever get perfection, but the goal is to get as close to it as possible. You just get obsessed. One day you go in the gym, you make 10 shots in a row. The next day you go in the gym, you make 12. Your first thought is not like, hey, I made 12 today. Your first thought is like, shit, maybe I can make 20. Like, you just keep chasing more because, like, people go to and lift and sculpt their bodies. You kind of sculpt your game. That's our way of sculpting something.
That's great. I like that. I mean, I did karate for 12 years. That was my obsession. And my obsession was to see how much or how many powerful kicks I had to do to kick the bag over.
Yeah.
It is a cool craft. Like when you're a kid, if you're like basketball for you, karate for me, that was an obsession. And that was the obsession was to get better and better and better. I unfortunately stopped doing that, but that's a different story, but
Yeah. I wish I knew karate, like.
it's so the thing I know I can defend myself if needed to be, but the one thing I wish that they would do, and it only happened when I got a little bit older, we started doing like gang fights. So like you would be in a circle and then one person would come this way, then somebody would come that way, and it would just be back and forth. I wish I knew how to do that more versus than just a one-on-one fight, you know?
Yeah, that's a little bit more realistic nowadays, right? Even people, two, three people instead of like the honorable 101.
I think it was even one-on-one when I went to school. I mean, I was probably the last class that had one-on-one fights.
Yeah. And then flash mobs became like the new popular thing. Like,
You ever see any of those fights on like social media, like with flash mobs just going after like one person?
yeah, all the time nowadays, right? Like I see like the kids in Philadelphia just running around just being anything. I don't even know what to call them. Like it's just anything, like stomping out a car just randomly. Come on, like no worries, huh? Somebody's gonna have to pay for that, and it's definitely not gonna be you, but okay.
It's crazy. I mean, I was in a mob once. I was driving, and then like I just see like a big fight happen in front of me. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what's going on? I was like, dude, I can't go anywhere. I was like trapped.
Yeah. Do you run like now it's like do you decide to try and push forward in your automobile and possibly take somebody's life? Or do you really just sit here?
I mean, I think that was my whole thing. Just sit there. I've always had fears of like running people over by accident, and like I see a lot of people who get hit by cars, and I'm just like, it sucks. I mean, I feel bad.
Yeah. Getting hit by a car is crucial. Like I've actually been hit by a car after I graduated college. That's a story for another day.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And then when after your college, did you go into being a director of basketball operations?
No, so after college, I was invited to a G League invitation. I went out there. I got drafted into the G League in the second round right after college, to the Greensboro Swarm. I was underneath Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier at the time, just learning how to be a more NBA prototype guard. I came from NJIT. We ran the Princeton offense. I'm not sure how rehearsed you are with the Princeton offense. It's really like a pass cut system. Not a lot of dribbling, dribble at actions, typically backdoor or DHOs for threes. So it's not like a lot of freedom. So I had to learn underneath. And at the time, like, we're talking about like perennial all-star Kemba Walker. Like, so it was definitely a great learning curve. Went down there, went to training camp, was playing extremely well and was getting treated even better. At the time, though, business is business. Charlotte made a trade for the Clippers for some money, and then there were some rights involved. They got a G League All-Star, multi-year G League All-Star. They got a multi-league G League All-Star, and they got a multi-league G League All-Star in Xavier Mumford at the time. He had an NBA contract. They already had Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier, and at the time, Kemba Walker is logging minutes. He's an all-star. He's playing like so. There's not a lot of minutes left. They sent Xavier Mumford, because he was an all-star in the G League at the time, down to the Greensboro Swarm where I was at. He had an NBA contract compared to my G League contract. And as I was signing autographs one day, they called me into the office and they just explained to me, look, we gotta play with the NBA's paying. You could either sit on this bench and wait for this man to get injured so you could play, or you could go play. I don't like I love being a competitor, and I love competition. I never wish bad upon anybody though. So before I decided to sit around and just prey on another man's downfall, I was young. I played 36 minutes, 33 to 36 minutes a game my senior year. I wanted to go play. I went straight overseas.
Wow.
Went straight overseas right after that. And the beautiful thing about it was, at this point in time, I was doing all this without an agent. So I had no representation at the time. So I got drafted into the G League. I got a G League, my first overseas offer all by myself.
How long ago did that happen compared to now?
I mean, to be honest with you, I signed with the agent right now, Lamar Rice. All right. I wanted to say it's Game Time Sports. Over at Game Time Sports, I just only converse with Lamar though. So Lamar Rice is my agent. He represents me, but I got over here due to my relationship with this country. I play extremely well here. Even this year, I've played extremely well after taking 3 years off. So I got this deal by myself. I've got every deal I've had up to this point by myself, just through networking and connections.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, and it's amazing how like you just did everything by yourself. You weren't handed any of it. I mean, from what you're telling me, like it's because like most people who are in like if their parents are in like the NFL or NBA, whatever, it seems like they're like, yeah, my dad helped me through this whole thing. And yeah, your dad did help you when you were a kid, but like as you were going through college and now that you got this deal out there, you did it all by yourself without anybody's help. Just you had connections and you networked, which is like really amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I mean, that's what I will say, that my last name never really, my father was very instrumental in the IQ I have, the skills, the mindset. He kind of planted the seed in order to obtain what I would like to call like my work ethic. Some would call obsession. But my work ethic with the game, in terms of seeing the other side, I mean, right? Like, I went to a small time school in Newark, New Jersey, Division One school in Newark, New Jersey. Meanwhile, my brother was an assistant coach in college. So even to the point where it's like, I didn't even get the chance to go play for my brother. I took a lot of pride in just getting it that way, right? Everybody wants to take the elevator up. I take pride in the staircase, right? Find beauty in the struggle. And it's just 1%. It's not about getting 10% better in a day, but just 0.1%. If you're better every day, eventually it's going to add up. So from the basketball piece, that's probably the biggest accomplishment. The game is the game at this point in time. It comes natural to people, or it comes natural to me, like other things will come natural to somebody else within their realm. But just the aspect that, like, being from a basketball family, not really seeing everything that you think I should get with the background I have, and still being able to say it's here. Yes, on paper, I didn't gain anything from it, but like the man that's in front of you today, everything that I learned from the last name, the Howard, my brother, my father, is what's in front of you. So it kind of like full circle. I didn't get it materialistically, but the work ethic, the mindset, the obsession, the love, the respect for it all, I got it from them. So all that kind of got me here.
How do you like living out there compared to like Pennsylvania or wherever else, Jersey? And because I live in Westchester, and I'm sick of the, yeah.
I mean, it's different. You go from being the citizen to the foreigner, right? And like now you're forced to adapt. You can't force people to change how they've been living for years and decades, right? Like you just gotta come over here and kind of navigate. You explore, you see what's right for you, you see what's not right for you. It's not bad, it's just different. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just different. But I can say, like, there's points in times where I'm driving on these roads and I'm like, shit, I forgot I'm in a different country. Like, you kind of just get used to it at a point in time.
Yeah.
The more you kind of think about all that shit, then you kind of get wrapped up in your thoughts. And now you sit there and like you're overthinking everything. You're like, yo, this shit is totally different. But when you just sit back and you're like, this is something I can't change, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're here. I'm visiting. Yeah.
That's crazy. Do you drive on it at all or no? Or is that
I'm blessed to drive on the same side of the road that we do in the States. And
okay.
they actually found me an automatic car. So, like, they're big on manual out here. Yeah, I'm not stalling out on anybody's highway, man.
Yeah, no, I did hear that. I used to work with the guy. He lived in Africa, and he was telling me like all the cars out there are manual. And I said I couldn't because I was a valet driver. I had to be forced how to drive customers' cars, and even I sucked at that. But this guy was like, "Yeah, manual's easy." It's really not. I've done it multiple times.
It's impossible for me, man. Tough.
Yeah.
Like three pedals, like come on. Like, give me a break.
I could put a car in first gear, but like everyone, well, I used to work at a car dealership too. They're like, "Why don't you drive this for a test drive?" I'm like, "I can only do first gear." They're like, "Well, second gear is easy." No, it's not. I've tried it. I'll stall out.
Yeah, like I gotta do too much movement with the hands and the feet. Like you're asking me to multitask. Like it gets kind of tough, bro. Like,
I can't multitask, and I work on the radio, and
yeah.
are you off season right now? Is everything done or?
No, we're actually currently playing. Our season finishes up at the end of the month.
Okay. And then what are you doing
Yeah.
after?
Come home and I get right back to work. I'm playing TBT this year. So I'm gonna take a little quick break, kind of just rebuild communication that I kind of lost by not physically being around with people. Give my body some time to rest because jet lag fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Probably go to cryo, take a week off, enjoy life, and then, I mean, Kobe said it best, job not finished. So we get right back to work.
I like that. I like everyone's mentality with that. Like, take a little bit of a break real quick from your whatever sport it is, and then get right back to work, back to the lab again, as Eminem says. But yeah, no, hey, this was a great interview. I enjoyed it. I and you told me I didn't know you, even know your dad was a professional basketball player. That's amazing. Not every day.
Back in the day, back in the day.
What do you like, the 70s or 80s or?
He played late 70s.
I wonder
Late
if my
70s.
dad might. I'll have to ask when I see my dad next. But no, yeah, that's.
Your dad may better probably know him better as like Mo Howard from St. Joe's Prep. Like he was an all city player. Like everybody has a Mo Howard story. Oh my gosh. That's the worst. Everybody has a Mo Howard story for you.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely have to look because I work next to the sports stations, and these guys have been in Philly for a while.
And
All right.
probably somebody there knows a Mo Howard.
Yeah. But no, yeah, this was great. Thank you for coming on with such short notice. I mean, it was like one day, but I mean, it was great. I like that.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Likewise.
I mean, again, it's all about perspective. So thank you for letting me shed mine.
Yeah, no, you're welcome, man. Very therapeutic too. I mean, like podcasts are always very therapeutic when you're talking about whatever you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I
Yes, this
appreciate it.
likewise. Yeah, this will be out tomorrow at some point, and I'll tag you on Facebook. Do you have an Instagram too?
Yes, it's Kai Howard, KY Howard, obviously, two underscores.
All right, sounds good. I'll tag you on both. And yeah, thanks again, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Wow. What a really great interview. I love it. Only a half hour. Not too bad, though. You know, here's a little story that I want to talk to you about real quick. I enjoy doing interviews. I love talking to people. I have a lot of fun things. You know what? It's great. I'm choking on my coffee. But no, interview. I love doing interviews. I love interviews with everyone. I enjoy a lot of things, and it's just something I really enjoy. It's awesome, and it makes me happy. So, yeah, I love doing it. But yeah, Joe Rogan is one of my biggest inspirations, as well as Howard Stern as well. So I usually follow their interview aspect of the show. But yeah, that's really it. All right, well, that's it for today's show. Thank you a lot. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, smash a like on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm. Also, I forgot to post Unexplainable. I'm going to try to do that by late tonight, if not early tomorrow, because I want to do this like weekly thing on YouTube where I just post Unexplainable videos. I mean, I meant to do it and I just didn't do it. I totally forgot, honestly. It's been a rough week. It's usually the week of like a major holiday where things just start like going like crazy, and that's what happened. A lot of things happened last week, but you know what? There's a lot of fun stuff happening, and I may talk to you about something as well. I mean, it all really depends on how I feel come Thursday. All right, that's it. Goodbye, everybody. I'll see you later.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I'd go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away.